Amen. Thank you, Carol. That's beautiful. Peace. It is God's desire that you and I live and experience peace. He is the source of peace, as we shared last week. God is the source of peace. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. The other day, I got a little upset. I was going to give Marilyn a piece of my mind. And she said, Bill, I said, what? You better keep what you have. You don't have that much to spare. Of course, anyone knows that when you're giving somebody a piece of your mind, you're probably not going to be living in peace, right? So the aspects, again, is what are those keys? There are keys to peace. And if we believe God is the source of peace, then we know that God has to be the author and the furnisher of the peace that we experience. Let us remember, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He did not say you're going to find peace in the world. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. He said the world will never be at peace. And you will not find peace as far as the world. It doesn't have the ability to grant to anybody peace. But Jesus did say, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I leave with you. That peace is that wonderful, sweet peace. The four keys are very simple. Number one, you have to believe in your heart that God is sovereign. That no matter what is going on in your life, God is in control. That God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are seeking His purpose. You also got to believe that no matter what you're going through, God is always with you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He is a faithful Father, a faithful God. Three, you got to believe that God is all power, that there is nothing impossible with God. If God is for you, nothing can be against you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither death, principalities, powers, things present, things in the sky, things in the sea. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. Fourth, you got to believe with all your heart that God loves you. Not only is He sovereign, not only is He always there and with us in our present help in time of need, He is all power, but you got to know that God is love, and He loves you. And how did He prove it? He let His Son die for you. How do we know that God loves us? 1 John 3:16 says, because He let His Son die for us. So we know that God desires us to be experiencing peace. There's no doubt about it. God wants you and me to be living in peace. Ephesians 2:17, it says, and He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who are far off, that's the Gentile world, and He came and preached peace to you who are near, that's the Jewish people. Remember again, that's what He came, preaching peace. And remember, He is that Prince of Peace. So there are three principles. One is, you got to be pursuing peace. You got to be pursuing it. You got to be wanting it and desiring it. Remember the 23rd Psalms? The Lord is my shepherd. What did it say? I shall not want. The thing that is killing us in America is we have all these want me's. And the secret of life, as far as Paul is concerned, he said, in everything I have learned the secret to be content, having food and raiment. Therefore, be content. Think about it. Second is the aspect that we got to protect the peace we do have. We have to protect the peace that we do have. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. You know that? That's what it says. Philippians chapter 4. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't forsake me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, accompanied with thanksgiving, what is the will of God? That you be thankful for everything. Doesn't matter what it is, your problems, your situations, your life, be thankful. Because that's where God proves His faithfulness. That's how He shows His power. That's how He shows He's sovereign over every aspect. That's how He moves and He shows how much He loves you and how much He cares. Because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because God cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 3. So the point is, you got to protect your peace because Satan is going to attack it by doing and causing and stirring up all the water in your life. Right? He's a master at stirring the water. You know that, don't you? And he'll try everything he can to try to bring down that shield of faith and get your eyes off on Jesus, who is the author and furnisher of your faith. That's what he tries to do. But in the aspects of doing that, it goes on and says, accompanied with thanksgiving. Are you listening? Say amen. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension or understanding, however your translation says it, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't tell me you don't need it. We all do. And we need to guard it. We need to pursue peace, but we need to guard the peace that God has given to us. And then we need to live in peace. We need to provide peace. We need to be providing peace to others. Well, I believe the first principle, and that's probably about where I'm going to get today by the time frame, is this. Are you listening? That you, first of all, have got to be living at peace with yourself. Do you hear what I said? You have to be living at peace with yourself. Would you agree with me that one needs to be living at peace with themselves before they can live at peace with others? Why in the world did Jesus say in Matthew 22:39, love your neighbor as yourself? What if you don't love yourself? What if you don't like yourself? What if you have problems with yourself? Will that not affect how you treat other people? Wouldn't it? Well, of course it would. The law of reciprocation, if you remember, in Luke 6:38 was, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, overflowing, poured over into your lap, and because by the way you treat other people, so will you be treated. Whatever you measure out will be measured back to you, right? We looked at that, right? So Jesus preceded that, if you will, by do unto others or treat others the way you want to be treated. But what if you're not at peace? What if you don't love yourself? Love is a verb. You know that, don't you? It's not an emotion, not a feeling. It's a verb. So 1 Corinthians says, chapter 13, love is kind. Right? So we look at that verse and we think about being kind to other people, right? No, you need to be kind to yourself first. Did you hear what I just said? You got to stop. You got to stop allowing Satan to cause you to think lowly of yourself and beat yourself up and look at yourself as a failure. Look at yourself continually as a nobody. As whatever. You've got to get those thoughts out of your mind because that's exactly the source of that thinking comes from hell. It doesn't come from God. It isn't in this book. God did not create a bunch of junk. And God didn't let His Son come down here and die for junk. He came down here and paid an unbelievable price because He saw value in your life. He saw you were worth something. He wanted you to see it. And you're never going to get on beyond yourself until you measure your value by the price that was paid for you. Every commodity value is determined by a price. God paid an unbelievable cost for you. He loves you. That's what raised my value. Anybody who know me back in those days, I couldn't look people in the eye. Everybody thought I was stuck up. No, I had horrible low self-esteem. I hated myself. I didn't like me at all. Didn't. I'm serious. The way my dad treated me, I just really felt like the dirt that he told me I wasn't worth. I really did. Maybe hard for you to believe. But it wasn't until I really, truly become a child of God and I begin to understand that my value wasn't how Dad saw me, anybody saw me. My value was how God saw me. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. God lifted me out of that mire. God lifted me out of the dirt pit. And God made me see myself from His eyes, not man's eyes. You see what I just said? So if you love and love is kind, then you need to be kind to yourself. I learned to be kind to myself. I quit beating myself up. That's what I did. The Bible says love is patient. Right? So we think about being patient with other people. How about being patient with yourself? How many of you put unrealistic expectations on yourself? You don't live up to those expectations. Therefore, you feel like what? I like that sticker you see every once in a while. Be patient with me because God isn't finished with me yet. God is at work in you to accomplish His will and His purpose, right? Huh? And you need to be patient. What does it mean to say, wait upon the Lord? What does that mean? Be patient. Be patient for what? Be patient for God. And then you will mount up like an eagle, wings, and you will soar, and you will not stumble, you will not fall. Some of you just need, and all of us need, to just sit down and take a breath and be patient with ourselves. Okay? Does that make sense? Huh? Your love is kind. Love is patient, but love is forgiving. We're supposed to forgive others, right? And if we don't, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses, right? Well, how many of you have forgiven yourself? Are there things that you're still carrying around, the baggage in your life, that you haven't forgiven yourself for? Would that not affect your ability to love other people? Are you with me? You hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening? You need to forgive yourself. If God forgives you, you need to forgive yourself. And a lot of people have never moved on spiritually and really been able to grow because they won't forgive themselves for the mistakes they've made in the past. You know what Paul said? Remember the Apostle Paul? Remember the one who gave up everything that counted it as dung, manure, that he might gain Christ? He said, this one thing I do. I forget the things that are behind, and I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God that I've received in Jesus Christ. What moved me on? What helped me to forgive myself for all the things that in my young immature world of life. What helped me is that my goal become more powerful, more motivational, more strength in my life to reach that goal than my past. I could forget it. While I'm forgetting it, I could forgive my dad, right? Get it? Are you hearing me? Okay? The only way you're going to overcome your past is you've got to get a goal out there that's more important to you than your past. And my goal is to go to heaven. My goal is to be able to be ready for the power of the resurrection and to be raised up with Christ. What's your goal? Is that more important to you than any other aspect of your life? Because we've all had those elements in our lives, haven't we? There's the other side, of course, and I know very shortly, Romans 12:3, preceding the text we read today, through the grace given to Him, we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think as having sound judgment. A lot of people's problems is they think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, right? They put themselves above other people, right? So as you evaluate our text today, I mean, point is, he said, can people love and be hypocrites about it? You mean they can love because they have some alternative thing they want from you? and they can claim they love you and so on, but they don't really love you? They're not really sincere and loving from a pure heart? Well, yeah, they can. Can abhor, cling, be devoted to one another and what? And what? Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice, persevere in tribulation. What? Persevere in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Well, oh my. My wife and I got a backload of our van filled up with stuff to go over to the church, because that area, people are giving and meeting needs of people. Wow. Think about aspects of that, okay? But the point again is, bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, isn't that experiencing with others what they go through? That's called in the Bible compassion. You know how many Christians have not ever come to the point of being compassionate, experiencing with another what they're going through, what they're weeping, your heart is broken with them, when they're happy and they're rejoicing, why should they be happy? Why isn't I want to, why I'm not? Why doesn't God bless me like they bless them so I can be happy like they are? That's called envy. That's called covetousness, isn't it? Are we not a family? And when somebody is blessed in the family, shouldn't we all rejoice? And somebody is hurting and they're weeping and their hearts are broken, shouldn't our hearts be broken with them? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Man, we all got ourselves up. Do not be haughty in your mind, but associate with the lowly. Never pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And man, I've talked to people on that verse, and they go through all kinds of psychological, theological reasons why that verse doesn't make sense. Stop psychoanalyzing that verse. It says, as much as possible, you and I are to live at peace with all men. Yeah, maybe there's possibilities that that's not possible. But the point is, we are not only to pursue peace, we're to protect it. We're the ones that should be given it. Oh, you remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called the sons of God. Amen? That's what it says, okay? So then the point is, leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, I will repay. If you are hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him a drink. In all doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. That means you're bringing judgment upon him. By returning good for evil, you're bringing judgment upon that person. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Got it? We are to be peace people. We're to live at peace. And we're to pursue it. We're to protect it. And we are to give it. So we need to look at that aspect of how so many people today, in our world today, are all puffed up in their own egos and arrogance and whatever it may be. No, we're even to love the lowly. That means people who are way down in the pit. That means the lowly. Who did Jesus associate with? The lowly. He didn't go to the Sanhedrin and to the high ups and the people that were all, you know, puffed up in themselves and the aspects of it. In fact, he warned us that if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee, you won't even see the kingdom of God. Who were they? They were self-righteous people. They had no love. In fact, when they saw a lowly man like somebody with leprosy, they would walk on the other side of the street. Right? You know the word Pharisee means divider, separationer, one who will not have and interact and share with people. Brother, you and I need to have a heart of peace, and we need to be able to bring peace into our homes, into our families, into our communities, the place we work. We need to be peacemakers. we need to be that, because that's exactly what God has called you and me to be. So can one look at themselves more lowly than they ought to? So that would not be appropriate, right? Have you been treated like dirt? Have you had people, your family, your home, whatever? We've all been raised in dysfunctional homes. I didn't have perfect parents, did you? Have you been a perfect parent? Have we all not all been raised in dysfunctional homes? Have we all not experienced some element of somebody throwing dirt on our lives, right? Well, write this out. Write it down. You need to write this one down. Just remember, every flower that ever bloomed had to go through a whole lot of dirt to get there. Didn't they? My life has blossomed, and I know that my life is so much better because of what I experienced in my past. I appreciate more, I love more, I care more. I know that that is because of the dirt that I had to grow through to get to where I am. And I know that it's God who's done it, not me. I really do. And so if you're going to get to that point, then I know I had to forgive. In order for me to grow, I had to forgive. I had to let go of it. God will do the leveling out point in his life. I thank God I immersed my mom and dad. They become strong Christians. And even at the age of their elderly lives, I saw mom and dad fall in love, biblical love, with one another. What a joy. You must look to the cross again and see your value for who you are. So I want to just take a few minutes, and we're going to the Lansing Mall. How many of you love to shop, ladies? Now, so we're going to go to the mall. This is the closing down, all right? We're simply going to the mall, and we're going to see what's displayed in the windows. So as we're going shopping, we may find that we are completely out of self-respect. So we ought to go looking for some self-respect. And we may have, maybe we need to go and exchange, if you will, some self-righteousness that we picked up the other day for some humility. So we ought to go. They say humility is less expensive and it wears better. Oh, look, there is some tolerance. You know, tolerance being displayed. That sure is needed today, isn't it? There it is. Someone mentioned that peace is also being displayed at the mall. No doubt most of us are low on that. I don't know, could we ever get enough of it? Could we ever be at peace enough? I don't think so. I think we could indeed use... Oh, look at over there. Look at that matching suit. Isn't that? That's unbelievable how that matches. It looks great together. Well, let's look at the tags. Oh, the tags. Yeah, what does this say? Oh, yeah, the one tag. This one says patience. What does that one say? That one says long-suffering. Wow, they look good together, don't they? Make a wonderful suit to be wearing. What? Patience, long-suffering. Wow, they absolutely do go together. Also, we must never lose our appreciation for all the good things we do have in our closet to dress us up. Never should we forget that and be grateful, okay? Which reminds us we need to look until we find some inexpensive goodness. Goodness is inexpensive, you know. It doesn't really cost you anything to return good for evil and be good, and we all need that. I don't know whether you have a few minutes with me this morning, but I hope you had fun going shopping with me. But I really believe that if we're all honest, we need to go shopping more. We all need to go shopping more. And in that, I think we'll all be amazed how soon your life and my life is depleted from some of these beautiful qualities of life. My Bible says if you've been immersed, baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. What does your Bible say? So every day you should be getting up and dressing yourself with the same qualities that Jesus had in his life. And Jesus went about doing good. So you see, the truth is, if we don't dress our lives with these qualities and display them in how we treat others, we're not going to feel good about ourselves, right? That's the truth, right? And the way we treat others will ultimately affect how we do see ourselves. So the mentality of God is this: peace. He wants you to be living in peace and experiencing peace in your life. And when you reduce it all down to two qualities, which we'll see next week, okay? There is a wisdom that comes straight up from hell that is being demonstrated in the world that is taking peace away from everybody's lives. But there is a wisdom that comes from the above. The wisdom that brings peace. The wonderful peace. Sweet peace. Peace that God gives and not this world gives. Peace that God gives and not that gives and not this world gives. I'm going to live peace with my friends. 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 I'm going to live pe